Welcome to a Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. I mean, they'll throw anybody in this studio and just say, go do 2 hours. Anybody, just throw them in here. You guys, you'll make it work. You know, they don't overanalyze. One day it's Mikey. Today we got Bo. Next thing you know, they'll have the guy that's a greeter down at Chick-fil-A. Maybe they'll let him come up and host.
So did you just compare me to a Chick-fil-A greeter?
The valet guys, do they want, I mean,
very grateful, isn't he?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, they just assume you as management that Steak can work with anybody in any scenario.
Well, aren't you like, how long have you been doing radio in this city? Like 30 years?
Oh,
I mean, didn't you own a radio station at one point? I mean, you have a TV show?
1995.
You're an Instagram sensation?
Yeah.
With your I mean, Steak.
I know, but it's just, you know, I gotta, like, I planned the show Friday around Mikey. I planned the Rusty show around Rusty. I'm a collaborator. Unlike another guy on the radio station who says, more of me, more of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me. You know,
I mean, just say Mike Bell's name, okay? What, did you not plan this show around me?
No, I have been thinking about you.
Oh, okay.
I've been thinking about you a lot. Now, not yesterday, because I was like, you know, I was in a different mindset. Like, normally we're sending our texts and all that. And I said, I'll figure out the Bo Morgan Steak Shapiro show in the morning. There's two ways to approach Sunday night. There's the Sunday night of, I'm going to be completely buttoned up. My week is going to be laid out. I'm going to have my gym workouts laid out, pickleball game, hit some golf balls, what I'm going to do with the kid. And then there's Sunday night where you're sitting by the pool and you have a couple of drinks. You go, I'm not going to think about anything about, you know, it's the Sunday scaries.
Yeah.
Until tomorrow.
And that was yesterday. That was it, right?
Me and my wife started going over our fall schedule. That gave me major anxiety.
Ooh.
You know, my daughter wants us to be in Athens to go to Georgia games. I got another daughter in New Orleans at Tulane. I got a son entering high school.
Wow.
So all these weekends, you got to plan. So that alone, it was giving me anxiety. And I was like, I don't. And then the money. I just said to my wife, how are we paying for these trips? Right? How are we going to do this? I know Sandra paints me to be, you know, some bougie guy that can travel all these nice places. You know me, Bo.
I know.
I would like to be, if I had my druthers, with you and Allie and Mikey over there at Echo Park.
Yeah.
Right?
Echo Park Speedway, yeah.
Echo Park Speedway, just being a dude.
Yeah? Well, I got an extra spot. You want to come?
Just being a
dude.
You want to
come? You want to get away?
Just being a dude.
We can try one of those commercials. You need to get away? You can just come down. We'll get you taken care of.
Scale of 1 to 10. How much are you looking forward to?
10. I'm excited. I'm absolutely. I was texting Mike and another guy that goes with us all the time with those races. I was like, dude, I'm so pumped.
You remind me of my 18-year-old daughter who went to Charleston this weekend as a gift from her aunt. They're going to go to Charleston to spend the weekend. She started picking out her outfits. We're going to have brunch here. We're going to do for an early morning walk on the water there in Charleston. I'm going to wear that workout clothes. Then dinner, you're going to have to wear this because it's fancy. Then she's like, she was planning all week. Now,
yeah.
I heard you're staring at your Yetis multiple. Like,
yeah.
You literally have been thinking about this. You're not leaving till Thursday, right?
Yeah, and I've already got
a
pile.
You're like a little girl planning your outfits.
Yeah, I've got all my hats ready to go. Speaking of which, I've got my hats. I've already pulled my hats out. They're ready.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean.
Do you have a hat per day? Per diem? Is a hat per diem? Is a hat a day?
I actually have a hat. Like, I'm going to wear one hat to do the radio show. A very neutral hat because we're going to have a driver come
by. Hold on. So, when there's a driver, it's a neutral hat. Does that mean it has nothing to do with racing or is it a racing hat?
No, it'll be like this hat, like an old school racing hat. Like,
wear a hat every day to work?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Unless
you always wear a hat in general, I don't even.
No, I wore.
So you're not worried about.
I don't wear a hat
hairline
always.
Or any of that.
I mean, my hairline is
no, not
great.
No,
that's
not bad.
But
better than a lot of people.
No, I wear a hat a lot.
Okay. So that one is and then what else? How many other hats?
So then I'll have a camp hat. I'll have a hat.
What's that, like a camouflage motif?
It'll be a hat that I don't mind sweating, you know, like getting smelling like a campfire and kind of sweating it. Then I'll have a
camp hat. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have a hat for the race, which will be driver specific. I'm a Ryan Blaney fan, so it'll be a Blaney hat.
Blaney hat.
But I've got like five or six Blaney hats to pick from.
Where do you get all your Blaney hats?
Different places. They're a lot of times races. I'll go to a race and I'll get a hat.
Like again, back to my daughter. Like little girls go to concerts, you get concert shirts.
Yeah.
You go get your Blaney hat.
Uh huh.
Yep. All right. Okay. So, in the course of how many days are you going to be there?
Thursday, Friday, so three, yeah.
Three nights?
Yep.
And your wifey's cool, you won't see the baby or
daughter. Oh, it's funny, because we were at dinner on Saturday night, we went to our Mexican spot with our neighbors, and there was a round of golf yesterday morning at 9:15. My buddy's like, Bo, you gonna play? I looked at her,
silence.
And I go, I haven't asked yet. And my buddy goes, Amy, can Bo play? You know, I don't know. I mean, he is going to be gone for three nights.
Yeah.
And figured I would get my time if I needed it. And yeah.
She knows, dude.
Yeah.
You haven't been away from the baby pork chop for three nights like this, have you?
No. We've barely been away for, right. I think the longest we've been away is when we went Metallica.
What do you think the rule is going to be in terms of checking in? I mean, because you're going to be in the middle of a race, in the middle of the infield, right? You're going to be partying, drinking beer, sitting on a trailer, like... There's not a lot to say. You can't talk to the baby.
Well, I can FaceTime with her. I'll be texting her. How's everything going? Are you good? I'll do a FaceTime, at least one FaceTime a day. Hey, let me see it because I want to make sure.
You do the baby talk with the FaceTime, right? You just have to check those boxes. Sorry, ladies. You got to check those boxes.
Yeah.
And just
it's
like,
real.
I checked in, but she's not expecting anything. She knows you're going to be drunk. She knows this is your like Super Bowl. You get to be down there. You got a great crew. How many nights is Allie going to be there?
She's
staying overnight?
Well, yeah. But I think she's got her own place to stay. I don't think she'll be in a camper with a bunch of dudes.
I heard, is this true? Did you guys hear this? Grant McCauley does not want Allie in a trailer with Bo and Mike. I don't know. What do you think that's fair, Bo, or not?
I mean, yeah, that's pretty fair.
What's he worried
about?
And
I don't think that it's necessarily even just them. It's, I mean, anybody.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Joe? Smoking Joe is here as well. I don't know. He's in. What do you think about Allie staying in the trailer with Mikey and Bo? Because doesn't sound like that's going to fly. Grant McCauley's he's putting his foot down, right?
Well, I don't. You know
Where's she going to stay then? Right.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of. Hotels in that area.
Doesn't she have her own trailer? Aren't y'all staying in trailers?
We are staying in trailers. We have two trailers.
All right, we're going to talk about...
One for her and one for y'all, right?
Listen.
No.
It's not a movie set. She's not Jennifer Aniston. I mean, it's like, she ain't getting no trailer. Hey, do you have the meals planned out at all? Also,
I'm trying to get Mike to stop beating around the bush on what he wants to bring and just say, hey, this is what we're bringing.
You saying a pork butt's too basic and all that? Or?
I mean, I would do one, but, we could church it up a little bit. I like to try something different once in a while.
Can we talk through that in the next 2 hours, get some recommendations?
Absolutely. I'd love them.
So low and slow because you're there so long makes a ton of sense, right?
And it's going to – we'll start it Thursday night
when
we get
there. What are you cooking
it on? A Weber.
Okay, Weber. Yeah, so, we're not cooking on anybody unless they're a sponsor. We're not showing any love to that company up the road. We're showing any love. Like, you want to be a sponsor.
I'm also not loading one of those heavy things in my truck.
Listen, if you endorsed him, you would. We promise you that.
Oh, yeah.
We have him out there.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do a 9 at 9. Well, you know, oftentimes in life, when you have enough evidence that piles up around you, whether that's a relationship, whether that's your kid at a school where it's just not working out, you just have to finally go, this is a hard thing to deal with, but I think we have to be honest with ourselves. The Atlanta Braves had a massive weekend series where they needed to keep the momentum going after the best three games of the season beating the Mets the way they did. And what happened is the exact opposite. The absolutely awful news that Chris Sale injured himself in one of the best plays of the year, the diving stab against the Mets the other day, where he now bruises a rib, which is not easy to pitch when you're a big left-hander or a rib. Then they go out and they lose Friday night 5-3, Friday night 6-2 with Didier Fuentes.
Yeah.
in his initial start. The youngest starter for the Braves since 1969. And then after a 7-0 win on Saturday, they lose again yesterday.
Yeah, he was encouraging, Fuentes was. Look, I'm trying to be half full steak. The best part is at least now you have Spencer Strider seemingly back. Like, I mean back, you know, his last two outings.
You have the best pitcher in all of baseball out.
I know.
Again, the best pitcher in all of baseball. That's who Chris Sale is. When I saw that news come over the wire, I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I mean, what a shot.
It just feels like the last couple of years you've been snake bitten. You know what? It's kind of like you talk about it. All the luck you got, because you got a lot of luck in the 21 run.
Unbelievable! Look at those guys.
Yeah,
they're not exactly lighting up the majors. Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, and company, right?
Yeah, and now, I mean, now you feel like you're paying off the debt.
Chris Sale was healthy the entire 2024 season until he wasn't at the postseason. Just a great example of how things play out, right?
It sucks because he was so freaking good for a while. I mean, he was absolutely just...
Dude, his last is...
One ERA, I think, over his last, like, 9 starts or something. Like, that's... I mean, that's incredible. The problem is they already gave Paul Skenes the Cy Young this year. They'd already given it to him even before that. As soon as this came into this year, it was Paul Skenes' Cy Young to lose. And he's not losing it. He hasn't done anything to lose it. At least you got Schwellenbach and Strider, and you're encouraged by Fuentes' start. Bryce Elder is going to give you a couple of good starts and a couple of meh starts.
Bro, you can't lose to the Marlins. Nope. What do you think they're going to do with the Mets now, who got rocked last night by the Phillies, right? So now you're headed to
New York.
Yeah, for 4.
Phillies actually ended up tying the Mets over the weekend, so we got to this next like 7 games, you got to win 5 of them, no matter who they are against, Mets or Phillies.
Can we just say the obvious? I know I've been saying on the morning show, I don't know what y'all have said about it. On here, you're not playing for the division. You're 6.5, I think, out of the wild card. That is your goal.
I get it, but you're also got 7 games you think could go south quick against the Mets and Phillies. New NBA champion, Oklahoma City. That was a given once Tyrese Halliburton went down. I know it was a 1-point lead at halftime, but there was no way the Pacers could hang in long enough. The championship goes to Oklahoma City. Tyrese Halliburton. Another example of trying to play through an injury in a critical time, tears his Achilles. That's the word, correct?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I mean, you could see it ripple up through his calf muscle. His dad said it was an Achilles injury, and that's not a torn Achilles, and I don't know what one looks like.
All right, a couple of other quick things. Man City yesterday, was it Al Ain? 6-0 win at Mercedes-Benz?
Sounds good enough to me.
Yeah, I mean, I know my son was there, and he was excited to see Manchester. Mick Fleetwood, a huge choke over the weekend. Keegan Bradley wins the Travelers, was it?
Yeah, I watched that. Fleetwood, basically, he changes his wedge.
He changes wedge,
and
right.
Then he's short, and then he shorts the putt, and he has to give the read to Keegan, and you can see he misses it, and I was like, this is over, and Bradley just sinks it.
Yeah, Bradley's a very well-loved golfer for sure. And LSU, go Tigers. Go Tigers. They beat Coastal Carolina to win the College World Series. Not a lot of drama, really, although they got it to 5-3. The 1-0 game was pretty exciting. We're going to talk about later on the ejection of Coastal Carolina's coach in the first inning of the biggest game of their lives. When we come back, Alex Anthopoulos will let you know, are we ready to spend money to do whatever it takes to make this summer matter? He's Bo, I'm Steak. It's the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Go Tigers!
Sports Radio 929 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Bo Morgan. This is the Steakhouse. Thanks so much for being with us. As I don't even know like what days who's off and who's in. Like, I know somebody's not here. But we got this rotation of guys that I get lucky enough to sit with. I believe today Drew is off. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm in for Drew.
And last Friday, Mike was in for Rusty.
Yeah.
Jeez. And then tomorrow, did I hear Abe is in? Or I think Joe, are you in?
I'll be riding shotgun with you on Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Does anybody work this summer?
Whoa, hold on.
It's like one day a week.
What?
Here we go.
Is this where you want to be? You?
What?
You
I've been here lately.
You know what? I'll give you. But you've been known to take a day or six, a couple weeks off.
Listen.
Didn't you take like 3 weeks off last
summer?
Year for like Italy or something?
No. Listen.
Was it France?
Wasn't
I don't know.
3 weeks off, and I may be headed across the pond. But for right now, am I here all 5 days? Let's just say July is a busy month.
So
I need to get my. I've been doing this a long time. I'm older than you. I need July. You know how in August, you guys been to Europe in August? You guys know what happens in Italy? You're on holiday. So when you're on holiday in Europe, right? Have you been to Europe other than with Falcons?
No, only with Falcons.
Okay. You may want to, once the pork chop gets a little bigger, think about taking the kid overseas. Something that never happened for you, but just something I want to throw out at you. So listen. They take the whole month of August off. Like, the whole country takes August off. It's called holiday. So they're like, they don't do these 4 or 5 day, like, rush to the beach, drive 6 hours, unload everything. Then, like, your 5 days, they pack it all and go back. No, they take the whole month. They go down to the whatever, you know, house they have down by the water, whatever it is. They believe over there that we're out of our minds, the way we rush to work, the way our mindset is, the intensity of all that stuff. You know, they like to have three-hour dinners.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody goes to dinner at 5:45 to be home at 7:15. So they take that off. I like to think my mom is from Istanbul, Turkey, mm-hmm. right? So I like to look at July as holiday, right? So I'm off a little bit more than, you know, probably the listeners would appreciate. They'd probably like to hear me more. So when I start talking about does anybody work, maybe I should backtrack it a little bit. But you don't see my schedule. Do you see it? You helping with Conti? Do you help
I mean, I see what he, sends, yeah. But yeah. I haven't. I know that you're taking some time soon.
So July?
Yeah.
July's, you know, I got to recharge because I got football season. Everybody's counting on me. I'm a journalist.
Journalist? That's why I think it's funny that you're sitting here casting stones at others for taking some.
I'm just saying, yeah, I like guys at work. I like guys at work.
I don't. You know? Yeah. No, I'm with you. Trust me.
I'm playing, but I mean, we like to have our team. But you know, summer's different. Ratings have been spectacular. So you're in management, right?
Yeah. You doing well?
Do you ever come to me and say, "Steak, I saw your ratings"? I mean, you are kind of my boss. Do you ever say, like, "Steak, I saw your rating. Congratulations"?
Let me ask you a question. Do you look at me as your boss? When you don't need something, do you look at me and think?
I'm very simple with this stuff. I look at you as management. I will say this about myself, having been a boss for many, many years. Right, I'm a very easy employee.
Can I ask?
I will
agree with you for the most part. You are pretty easy.
Yeah. Like if somebody is responsible for a paycheck that helps pay for my kids to do anything, I'm like I don't get caught up in.
Yeah.
All right, Mikey needs something. Bo needs something. I'm respectful to them, whether I consider them my boss. I consider them, you know, they have these flow charts. You're above me in the flow chart.
I got to ask you a real question.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Uh-huh. Ask me.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. It was, it was longer. 17 years ago now. When I walked in and like on Cinco de Mayo, 2008.
Was that your first day?
Yeah. Did you think one day this guy's going to be hosting the show before mine, have to fill in with me, and my boss in the flowchart?
Well, I would say this. If somebody had told me that, I would have said my life has taken a horrendous turn. Like, I would have said, roll the tape forward. What has happened that this young kid who's desperately trying to speak better English rolls in here? And then in 17 years, you'll be working for him?
I must have hit rock bottom.
I think Kimberly, if she had known that, would say, we gotta pack up. Something down the line. There's something happening down the line, right? I always tell the story of my favorite documentary, Potential. You've been to the dog track. So dog track's more of a Northeast thing,
yeah,
right? Greyhound track. And there was a couple of Greyhound tracks. One of them was called Raynham-Taunton. Taunton Racetrack outside of Boston, 40 minutes away in this kind of obscure town. And then there's one what was it? Wasn't Suffolk. Wonderland, right by the airport. And I was like, and I was known to be a bit of a degenerate dog racing guy, right? And I was like, And I'd walk, I'd go over there after school some days, like a Tuesday at 3:30, and I'd look at a guy sitting there who'd been there all day with his beer, and I'd be like, great documentary would be, how did this guy end up here?
Yeah.
Like, how are you, a grown-ass man at 40 years old, sitting here betting $4 horse race, dog track, right, on a Tuesday afternoon? I feel the same way about the documentary that took me from the point of a boss owning a company to now I basically have to answer to Bo Morgan. Like, you know, something happened. In that something happened along the way.
I mean, you know what? I'm happy about it.
I know. Life is a funny thing. Hey, Alex Anthopoulos joined Dukes and Bell the other day. This is while things were still cooking. I think he asked an important question. Bo, you follow the Braves as well as you do. Who is Michael Harris? What can you count on him for? And is he not part of the problem that maybe we're looking at guys that we thought their upside was one way and the reality? Can he turn it around?
No, great question. And look, and with the coaches too, right? So, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we had great success with Kevin Seitzer and Bobby Magianis, and they were great. And that was a tough decision because, you know, it was one of those, are we going to trade all these players or do we try? You know, you hate the line you see in sports. We need a new voice. Right. The classic cliche line, right?
But we said it.
You know, we ultimately went, yeah, exactly. But, you know, this was the one time it actually I felt like it applied. It wasn't because, you know, these guys didn't work hard or they didn't connect with the players or, you know, it was but they left it all out on the table in 24, right? They didn't say, oh, I'm saving my good stuff for 2025. Let me hold back in 24, right? So everything they had in their tool belt, they brought it out, and we still didn't ultimately get the results, right? So we ultimately said, do we trade the players or do we try something else? And that's ultimately, unfortunately, is make a change with the coaches. Well, make a change, and obviously Tim Hires is very accomplished.
He's essentially talking about Michael Harris, and I'm sorry, it's a roundabout way of saying we could have traded Michael Harris because we are worried about him offensively. I think he's been pretty clear there that that was in the conversation, or we can get rid of his coaches, right?
Yeah, and that's what they did.
Right.
Yeah.
They got rid of Kevin Seitzer, of course. They give a new voice, new coaching staff in terms of hitting coach. And it's not helping Michael Harris, right?
Well, no, and I don't know how, you know, it's his approach. He seemingly takes the first pitch every time, and so guys are throwing strikes at him his first pitch, and then when he gets, like, I know that you expand the strike zone stake when you got two strikes against you. You got to be a little bit more of a defensive hitter. You can't sit there and take a borderline pitch, but he's expanding to balls that are bouncing to the plate. Dave O'Brien had it. He's 248 on base percentage is the worst in Major League Baseball for qualified players. The worst in baseball. He hasn't walked in like 29 games. In that span, he has like 26 strikeouts in that span or something. It is rough.
Sometimes it's not that complicated, and you don't have to go through every algorithm and every piece of data. You just gave us the only data that really matters. You have a great defensive center fielder with incredible speed that can't get on base.
Yeah.
He literally can't get on base. And there is no double leadoff anymore like back in the day 2 years ago when it was. You have a bottom of the order that are guys that are just guys, right?
Yeah.
And then bringing in, I guess it was Tim Hires as the batting coach to replace Kevin Seitzer, it's like switching your third base coach. You know, like, what are we talking about here, guys, right?
Well, yeah, I think quietly Freddy Gonzalez has done okay there. But no, I'm with you. I mean, what are you doing in the middle of the season? You're not going to fire Tim Hires in the middle of the season.
No, I'm not asking to fire him either.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my point.
The problem is Alex Verdugo is your number two hitter. That Nick Allen is your number nine hitter. Mm-hmm. That Sean Murphy is your number seven hitter. Like, you know, that Ozuna is not having the year that you thought. Like, it's very clear why they're where they are. And, you know, the question then is money. And are we going to spend some money to upgrade, which was once a powerful, intimidating lineup, that night to night, you don't know if we're going to get shut down again?
Having more money, right, it allows you to build more depth. It allows you to paper over things. I mean, I'd probably name them if I spend time on it, but go through our bench pieces over the years. We just don't spend money on the bench, right? And right. Because we're trying to spend money on frontline players. And what happens is injuries happen, drop in performance. Your bench is not as strong as some of these other clubs. And that's an impact. Right now, right. We try to target healthy guys, these frontline guys, guys that are going to be durable, guys that are going to be out there, right? So you're trying to manage and balance all that stuff. But I'll tell you this, it's exciting when you get a chance to beat those guys, too, because you know you're doing it with less.
You know what's interesting about that is he's asked, because I was listening to this when it happened, and he's basically asked, do you have the money to spend? And he says, yeah, we're top 10 in payroll, blah, blah, blah. You know, if anytime you're top 10 in payroll, if I don't pick the right players, that's on me, that's on me. And then he goes, but when you have money, like the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Mets and the Yankees, you can go get depth. The Braves, that's why when people say, well, that he can spend, he can spend on frontline guys. But they don't, that's why you have Alex Verdugo and Nick Allen in the starting lineup. That's why you can't send Michael Harris down to get his bat right because you can't afford to lose the defense out there because you're not hitting because you don't have depth.
Does Alex Verdugo even have a home run this year batting out of the two hole?
I don't think he has a home run. Does he have a home run at all? I don't know.
He has no homers. No homers.
He's a singles guy.
He's got 182 at-bats. You know, he's supposed to be more than that back in the day. When he was traded in the Mookie Betts trade and he came to Boston and he was kind of an attitude problem and they shipped him to the Yankees and the Yankees were done with him and now the Braves picked him up once the season started. He's got no home runs and 12 RBIs. Batting behind Acuna. I mean, dude, that ain't going to get it done. You are who you are. And when Chris Sale goes down, unfortunately, you are who you are even more. So we'll see what happens, man. We got seven, right? Seven, four and three. Four of the Mets, three of the Phillies.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, that's why, you know, when people say, well, replenish the farm system, what do you mean? Oh, sell it. You're not going to sell it because you're never going to get guys like Matt Olson and Austin Riley to make what they make.
What if Marcell Ozuna commands something right in the middle of, you know, they're talking about the Red Sox trying to get Marcell Ozuna to replace Rafael Devers because they need somebody smack in the middle of the lineup. They're going to get calls on Ozuna because Ozuna's a guy that people think could change a lineup, right?
I mean,
if we're how many out by the end of July, he said it in the interview with those guys.
Yeah.
This may be different end of July.
Yeah.
Maybe different. I don't like to say it. I'm going to depress you. Hey, do you have to umpire different? Do you have to referee different depending on the game? How about being the coach of the biggest game of your life? That may be an East Cobb World Series game, or it could be the biggest college World Series game ever, and you're gone in the first 20 minutes. Wait till you see the reaction. Coastal Carolina's coach, I want to play that for you. Big signing in the NFL, all kinds of stuff. Bo is here. He's management. He's here talking to me. It's a big day for me. As a journalist.
Journalist!
Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. This is the Steakhouse, but I'm not Steak. Bo Morgan, Squid Billy. And I'm joined by Steak on his show from time to time.
I'm just doing some show prep over there with the boys. The boys!
Yeah.
We're just getting. I was really wanting to congratulate. You know, this isn't a fly-by-nighter. This is not a let me put on my Louisiana garb just because, you know, all of a sudden my team's, you know, close to winning a College World Series. Like, Bo lives and breathes it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I see him with his. I don't mind his LSU gear. There's only one team I really mind that he wears their gear. He wears the Saints gear. I can't do that.
There's a guy at another station, which I'm kind of shocked. He was an engineer, board, whatever, and he would wear his Georgia stuff.
Yeah.
But then he'd go out of his way where you were the flagship station of Georgia Tech and just rip the hell out of Tech every opportunity he could, thinking it was funny. And I'm thinking like, if I was the AD of Tech and I heard that on my station on a consistent basis from my partner, like there's a good chance somebody wouldn't have a gig, right? So I thought one of the most unprofessional, dumbest things I've ever been around. It's not like Bo comes on here and trolls the Falcons, right?
No, he trolls me a little bit.
I'm
but
very
that's
objective.
Off, that's behind
I'm a
the,
very objective radio host and producer. I talk about the Falcons like I should, like well, our, you know,
like I you know people in Atlanta. You wish good things for them, but you grew up. It's in your blood. The fan you are from age 6 to 14 is who you are a fan of. Mm-hmm. Now, you can move to other cities and get into it. You can root for what your kids root for. But you're in your blood. I'm talking about blood is 6 to 14, anything in through you and your buddies in high school, right? That never leaves you.
That's how I know that you're a real sports guy. I'm talking about you specifically because I've obviously worked with you for a long time, is that you make no mistake. You know that the what's good for the Braves, Falcons, Hawks. You're a fan of those teams by having the relationships and being here and doing all that. But when it's completely separated from those teams, you're still talking Celtics off the air and Red yeah. Sox. And I love that. I don't expect people to abandon who they are with their fans.
It's in your blood. Now, listen, I've gotten to know the managers and owners and players and all these teams. There's nothing that would get me. I watch every Falcons game. I am living and dying with Falcons games. My best friend helps run the Atlanta Hawks, Salsa,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I go on road trips with him to go to Hawks games. I could not be more into it. It's like, what happens if the Celtics play the Hawks? Like, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, if they play in the finals, I'd probably root for the Hawks because the Celtics have plenty of titles.
Yeah.
We need titles. We need our city to celebrate. We need great moments. This town has been through so much. I asked the question. I've been asking people over the weekend. I think Joe was here for this as well. Mike Johnson's 38 years old. I said, Mike, it's a $2 million bet. When you're 60 years old, you got to get it right. Are the Falcons or Hawks winning a championship by the time you're 60? That's 44 seasons, right? When you turn 60, if they win it in the next 5 years, you've won. You'll have a $2 million surplus. But if you bet against them, you got 44 seasons. So you bet you have the field every year.
Yeah.
This next year, you've got the field. Falcons don't win it, you go to the next year, to the next year. Now, I asked my buddy about it, and he's like, yeah, law of averages. And I was like, I think, Joe, you said it. What does the last 68 years have to do with the next 22 years? Like, there's no connection. The Chicago Cubs went 100 years. The Boston Red Sox went 86 years. The Cleveland Cavaliers never won. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm not bullish on what the Falcons and Hawks are doing, but I'm talking about a parade down Peachtree in the next 20 years by one of those franchises.
Well, is this not the 60th? I think this will be the 60th season the Falcons have played. No title.
50. I think it's 58 or 9 for the Hawks in Atlanta.
And one of the points we were making when we were talking about this is it's not like every year. I mean, every year, yeah, it is a new year and every team has a chance, but teams are constructed in a way that they're going to be good for several years. And you're probably going to be bad for several years if you're bad.
There's a window.
Exactly.
They'll probably have two windows. We've been here enough. We could have won a Super Bowl. I've been here for 30 years. We've had a couple of chances to win a Super Bowl. Denver year would have been tough regardless. Broncos were loaded. But then we had the Eugene thing, so that was screwed. right?
Yeah.
The next Super Bowl we should have won, obviously. So that would have been our first title. There is another Matt Ryan team that could have won a Super Bowl.
There's two more. I think there's two more.
There's the NFC Championship game lost at home against the 49ers.
Yeah.
Right?
But
they lost the Super Bowl to Baltimore, right, that year?
They did, but I think
– that yeah, we could have beaten
– I think that might have been the best Falcons team
that
Matt Ryan played with.
Yeah.
I also think the 17 team that you lose to the Eagles in Philly in the division on the Julio and the corner of the end zone.
Down by the end zone.
That was the best defense Matt Ryan ever had. And I truly believe
they went and beat the Rams on the road. They beat Sean McVay on the road. Then they came to Philly and gave him everything they can handle and lost down right at the end at the goal line.
Yeah, and you go back to the biggest play of that game was – the biggest play of that game that nobody remembers is right before halftime, Keanu Neal has an interception literally in his breadbasket, and he jumps. And the ball bats up. They end up scoring on that drive. But I think you would have beat Minnesota in Minnesota the next week because I think you were better than them. And then, you know.
So the point being of the question, 44 years. Now, Mike Vick didn't have a team that could win a Super Bowl. Philadelphia, the NFC title, they just were limited. We couldn't really throw the ball. Mike Vick was asked to do everything. They went as far as they should have gone. But you're going to have in the next 22 years in this bet two or three real chances. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this year is not one of those years you go, we're going to win a Super Bowl. It's just not – doesn't make sense with a second-year quarterback in this team and everything. But my point is, like, you know, I don't know what my point is. We were just talking about the teams you root for and growing up and what it would mean for this city, right? What would it mean for the city? So you have to get there. If you get there 14 times, you win once, that's not enough. But you're going to win one if you keep going. Just keep going there. It's almost like with Elway and the Broncos. You go enough times, eventually you're going to win. You're going to knock down the door one of those times, right?
Yeah, I remember sitting there. I think we were leaving. I can't remember where we were, but I remember talking about saying, hey, we'll be back next year. And it was me and Archer, and he was like, dude, he's like, you know how hard it is
everything
to get back?
Has to go right.
I mean, do you know how hard it is? That's the thing. That's
like the Indiana Pacers. Like, do I think they'll be back? I don't know. I look at their roster. They got a nice roster. There's a lot better rosters than theirs. They had their window. Halliburton goes down. I don't know if the Pacers are going to be back there.
Well, we're breaking. Are the Celtics going to be together next year at this way? I mean, remember last year, this time we were like, this team might win four titles, and now they're.
Dude, I would have said if they were healthy that there was no shot they weren't winning it this year. By the way, the Knicks were beating them anyway.
Yeah.
Knicks were winning that game anyway before Tatum got injured. They would have been down 3-1 with Tatum. So, yeah, it's really hard. That's why the window and the question we throw out there is what it is. That's just one of the things we're talking about. Also, top of the hour at 10 o'clock, Bo is working on his menu for Echo Park Speedway for 3 nights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are the rules for Thursday night? I want to get to some other things, but, I mean, you got to work Friday morning. Somebody keep you in check on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, look, myself.
Is she like a mommy, Allie? Does she, like?
I don't think she'll be down there Thursday night. I think we're going to have her, she's going to have her room. Somewhere she's gonna be living. She's almost gonna be like glamping or whatever.
Okay.
While we're camping, but no, I mean, look, Mike and I'll get down there. We'll probably just skip the beer and go straight to the
brown liquor.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. that way you know you're kind
when
of.
When do you
want to
have your eyes closed by Thursday night?
You know,
you're on the air live Friday morning. What time?
As long as I'm in bed by midnight, we're good.
Midnight to 5 a.m. You get 5 hours.
I'll probably wake up 4:35.
Yeah,
yes, on that.
Early. Okay.
Got to get up, start smoking the meat.
Yeah. Hello. All right, College World Series. One of the, I'd say, the fourth most exciting title to win in all of college sports. Number one is college football. Number two is college basketball. Number three is women's college basketball. Bo's shaking his head. I'm just saying visibility, ratings-wise, all those things. Where do you put winning the baseball title? A lot of great, great programs.
Oh, number two.
Ahead of college basketball?
Huh? Well, that's just because your basketball team sucks.
No,
I just think I'm a bigger baseball fan than basketball fan.
Okay, well, I would say because I'm
consumer.
A Florida fan, and they are good at they've been good at football and basketball. Only team with 3 national titles in each, but baseball they've been pretty good at too. They were in the regionals.
I'm just telling you where the interest lies. Number one, college football. Number two, college basketball. Women's college basketball and baseball. And baseball is getting ratings better and better. Coastal Carolina had won 26 consecutive games.
Mm.
I did not think they're getting swept. I don't care who you're beating. By the way, they got they were undefeated in Omaha. They were undefeated in the Super Regional. And they were undefeated in the Regional. That's amazing. And they're not playing Sisters of the Poor. They're playing the best teams in America. From the ACC, from the SEC, from the West Coast, Big Ten. I like to say like UCLA, but they're the Big Ten, not the Pac-10. But then their coach, losing 1-0 the night before, is arguing balls and strikes in the second inning?
Bottom of the first. Coastal Carolina's manager, Kevin Schnall, has issue with a few pitches that were thrown, and it's issued a warning. Comes out of the dugout to approach the umpire. Umpire starts shooing him off. Kevin Schnall continues to, after being issued a warning, talk trash to the umpire about balls and strikes. You absolutely just cannot do that.
And profanity.
Yeah. Ends up getting tossed. And then there's a whole nother – it's kind of two instances that happened in the bottom of the first. There's him getting tossed. Then there's the instance of him being suspended for 2 games for touching an umpire, which we have cuts that support both.
The umpire, by the way, I mean – He looked like a European soccer player that took an enormous dive. Like, I mean, that was a friggin' joke. Did you see it?
Yeah. Yeah. He falls backwards and just.
Well, he clearly tripped over another umpire's foot. I don't think he flopped or fell backwards.
But then when he goes, he throws his hands up.
Well, look.
Anyway,
he's a dramatic role. He's not that old, all right? I don't think he's that
much
older than me.
Here's Kevin Schnall after the game.
And I'm 48 years old. I shouldn't get shooed by another grown man. Right, so when I come out to ask what the warning is, a grown man shooed me. So at that point, I can now hear him say, it was a warning issued for arguing balls and strikes. And at that point, I said, because you missed three.
Holding his hands in the air to the umpire, yeah. I mean,
well, you kept arguing him.
Correct.
And by the way, shooed, I would do everything possible to not throw him out. Everything possible. I totally agree with that. Your argument that you can't be shooed, that's what umpires do. They shoo you. They say, get back in the dugout. Like, it's not like you're at a dinner party with your wife and a couple and a man shooed you. He's the umpire. They shoo you back to the dugout.
You're right. They do that.
I mean, you are overstating that adjective. Like, he didn't spit in your face. He shooed you back to the dugout so you didn't get thrown out.
Well, and Campos was a former Major League umpire. He's actually been criticized before in an NCAA tournament game, in a regional game back a couple years ago. He kicked out ejected Clemson's Cam Cannarella in a tight game as well.
I would have put my arm around him, walked off to the side and said, dude, I don't want to have to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to. But you know, if you keep arguing balls and strikes, and if he MFs him there, you toss him. Here's more.
If you guys watch the video, there was a guy that came in extremely aggressively, tripped over Campos's foot, embarrassed in front of 25,000, immediately goes 2-game suspension, and said, bumping the umpire. Immediately does that. There was no bump. He was embarrassed. I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism.
Been tossed out at this point.
Yeah.
He's already been ejected.
Can we save that cut, please? Can't be responsible for a grown man's athleticism.
Well, as it turns out, that's your job.
Any time that we come
I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism.
Next time I come in and talk about losing a pickleball game, that has to be our cut.
I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism.
I could have seen Arthur, former Falcons, and I know this is rough now, but Arthur Smith saying that at a press conference. I could have seen that.
Oh, it's so tongue-in-cheek. Like, that dude has no coordination. Anyway, that's the
he did trip and fall.
That's the tailgate.
That's rough, man.
Listen, you don't get rid of a guy, but you also have to be smart if you're Kevin Schnall. If it's even close, they had a whole press release, Coastal Carolina and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, LSU, the best team in baseball. They were up 5-1 in the game. And congratulations. The 9th national title. Right? Or the 8th.
8th.
Skip Bertman won a bunch.
Skip won 5. Jay White's now on 2 within 3
2
years.
And
there was a title won before Skip.
All right. How are we doing first hour? Everything good? Are we happy?
Well, I think it was brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. You know, they actually came out. I called them and said Sandra told me to call. They came out and pressure washed my house last week. Phenomenal.
I'm proud that you actually didn't do it yourself. Let somebody else help you out. Good for
you. Yeah,
you're a busy
man.
You're in management. You can't do that.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, when we come back, why Trae Young very well may not be a Hawk. Sports Radio 92.9. It's the fastest 2 hours in Atlanta radio history. It's the Steakhouse. The number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Number one ratings right around this stretch of time. Andy and Randy and the Steakhouse. Of course, the great morning shift. Dukes and Bell just crushing the numbers. I've been in the business a long time. I'm not responsible for them. That's guys like Bo and Mike Conti. But I see them. Kudos.
What are you talking about? You're responsible for your numbers.
For my 2 hours.
Yeah.
My 2 hours. I got to take care of my side of the street. But the rest of the station, congrats. Never have there been numbers this big in this format, ever. Not even close. And I'm talking about 30 years of the format. So, yeah, you're listening to the right radio station, 92.9. Thanks for being with us. Bo is here. Smoking Job. Bo Morgan as well, helping me out here as, I don't know, Drew will be back sometime soon. I don't know. Country Club Boys playing a Country Club tournament, right? You want to talk about. I mean, when you're next to Drew Butler, do you feel the opulence and how you and him are from different worlds?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you play at a nice golf course. It's a lovely spot. I've been there. But he's playing it like, you know, Sugarloaf and, you know,
he also plays
Atlanta Athletic Club, and he's playing these tournaments all over the America.
Yeah,
right?
He plays with, like, I mean, Sean McDonough will call your show to talk about literally just how Drew played in the golf tournament that they played together. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I got my buddy, my neighbor, Carter. I mean, I play together. I mean, I guess he could call the show, but it probably wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm at a driving range in Dahlonega. Is that close? But anyways, he'll be back. Rusty will be back. He's busy as well. I want to touch on NBA in a second. But the Braves, exactly what you did not want to have leaving Florida, which is, first of all, an injury to Chris Sale, which could be a month on a bruised rib that he dove for that play the other day in Atlanta. But two losses, 5-3 on 6-2 on Friday, 5-3 yesterday. They win 7-0 in the mid-game. But they lose the series. And now you play the big boys in the National League.
Hey, you got a 4-game set to open this next 7 games. You got what, the Mets 4 games, and I think you come back home, and you got the Phillies over the weekend. And the Phillies are pretty hot right now. I mean, they took 2 of 3 from the Mets. And now the Mets had lost what, like 6 or 7 straight before
coming
that.
In. They had been on a slide thanks to the Braves.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, and they had lost 6 or 7 straight at one point. The Mets did. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. The Mets are, and the Phillies have what overtaken them now. But the Phillies have been. I mean, they're 8-2 in their last 10.
Do you know who has the best record in Major League Baseball?
Without looking,
yeah, the best record in Major League Baseball.
I would say that probably the Tigers and the Dodgers.
The Dodgers are 17 games over 500. The Detroit Tigers are 49-30. Mm-hmm. They are 19 games over. They're 26-12 at home. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Maybe I don't follow it closely enough. But for sure, Phillies have won 8 of their last 10. They're 16 games over. The Mets, the opposite. They're 2 of their last 10, and they are 14 games over 500.
Do you know, the Tigers, I think, finished the season strong last year. But do you know why I knew it was the Tigers? Like, do you have any, like...
No. You have a buddy from Detroit.
I literally have a guy that plays at MGA, and we see each other. That's our golf league on Thursday nights. And I'll see him on the driving range. And every time we talk, he'll ask me something about the Tigers.
Why is he asking you?
Well, we're just talking.
What the
hell
do you know?
That's what I'm saying. But he knows what I do. So we're like, we'll talk about the Tigers. And we'll talk about Detroit sports for literally like the minute and a half I interact with him. So I just kind of have kept up with the fact that the Tigers, I don't know anything about the Tigers other than Scooball is phenomenal. He's on my fantasy baseball team. And so he's good for a win every time he goes out. And then they're pretty good.
Anybody else in fantasy that we know about are the Tigers? I mean, why are they the best team in baseball? There was a time.
Well, Tarek Skubal is a Cy Young Award winner, so...
And he's on pace for another one this year.
Right, on pace to have back-to-back.
Yeah, which maybe Chris
What about their lineup, though? I don't know, somebody...
Riley Green, he's like a young, up-and-coming player.
I got Riley Green on my fantasy team, too.
Resurgence of Javi Baez.
AJ Hinch is a phenomenal manager, too. Like, you got to give him some credit.
Like him
he's done a very good job. Maybe the Braves could steal him away if and when Snit retires.
So, the NBA draft is 2 nights away. We had 2 first-rounders. What are our numbers in the draft?
I believe it's... What, 15 and 21, I think. I'll double check, but I think it's like 15 and 21.
13 is one of them.
13 and maybe it's 13 and 15, and I don't know.
No. It's not 13 and 15. 13 and then the 20s for sure, right? So the highest we're picking is 13. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Made some moves, made some trades, have 2 first rounders. Okay. Not high enough. I mean, we're in the, I guess, top 14 is considered lottery-esque, right? But essentially, an interesting place to be picking. You love the word first rounder, although mid to late first rounders are not something that, you know, is the sexiest thing. So, given all that, and given the need, as you watch the Indiana Pacers get within one half of winning the world championship, and knowing what I think I know about the energy and mood of the Atlanta Hawks, I think there is a better than 50% chance that Trae Young is traded.
No.
That Ansi Sala is here, that they have looked at what teams are winning, and I think that they feel like, well, Trae Young puts up great numbers, while Trae Young seems happier under Quinn Snyder, while Trae Young continues to be their best player, I think they don't think they can win a title with a diminutive point guard who is your alpha player, and I think that they're ready to make a move. I think that's part of what Ansi Sala was asked, if you want to stay here and be not have anybody over you. And I think there's a better than 50% chance that Trae Young has moved, and I just wonder what this town is going to be like if that happens.
It's going to be on fire. There's going to be this town is going to lose its mind.
What if you replace him with a solid point guard, not spectacular, but you talk about how, like, listen, we've had 3 years of the play-in. It's not working. Like Sandra says, it's not working. You know, just he's not SGA who's led the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. Won the playoff MVP, won the regular season MVP, is next level. He's not one of those guys.
Can I ask you a question? Would you take Haliburton or Trae Young? Healthy, without injury, take Tyrese Haliburton or Trae Young?
I would take Haliburton because I haven't won with Trae Young, and I see them winning with Haliburton. They've already won multiple. It's not like their roster with Siakam, Aaron Naismith, Miles Turner, and Andrew Nembhard is anything that is that spectacular. Solid coaching, great player development. We have great player development coming with Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson. And Risa Shea, I heard, has put on over 20 pounds and looks awesome. Okongwu, two number ones. Muhammad Gay, who's our white boy that we love?
Wesley Matthews?
No. The one that came over in the trade, Niang.
Oh,
George's Niang. Like.
The slowest player in the NBA.
Let me just say something. The ball moves more with Haliburton. It snaps around the perimeter. He's looking to guys. Trae is still a ball-dominant guard that just holds it too long. I think they looked enough and said, listen, he's not the reason this, but he's not helping us win. They're in the friggin' play-in 3 years in a row. We're going to lose our mind about losing a guy that had one playoff run 5 years ago, and that's what we're going
to. So you're going to sit here and tell me. Sorry, I mean to cut you off on your own show.
No, go ahead.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that by August.
Yeah, I don't think Trae.
Trae Young and Luka are both going to be on different teams.
Yes.
So so does that mean that both teams lost a trade? Does that mean both teams? How do we judge that trade then?
Well, we're going to judge the trade like we're going to judge the Luka trade by letting it play out and see how good the Mavs can be with Kyrie and who's the number one pick, Cooper Flagg, and Anthony Davis and all that stuff. Listen, I think they're going to make a move because I think they've decided that the Trae Young thing, like how many times did you look at the same team and be like, well, we didn't win with D'Andre Hunter and Trae. We didn't win with Jonte Murray and Trae. We didn't win with Dyson Daniels and Trae. We get every combination. I know we didn't give him a true superstar. Who's the true superstar on the Pacers after Tyrese Haliburton? Pascal Siakam?
Why didn't Siakam want to come here?
Well, we were not willing. I don't know that for sure. It still was a trade.
I know.
The Raptors needed to get back more than what we were offering.
But also, you knew that there were discussions about the signings. Why wouldn't you want to come here?
I don't care why he didn't want. I care that we're in a playoff purgatory, and I think Trae Young is going to get moved, and I think you can lose your mind. I mean, you know, how many NBA titles do we have? How many Eastern Conference titles do we have? How many playoff wins do we have last 3 years?
5 years ago, if he doesn't roll his ankle.
Oh, stop it. Things worked out that year. You know, if he didn't roll his ankle. And Giannis was injured that series also. And they went on to win the title, right? So.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. I'm just. Brace yourselves. Because I think at some point they're going to move on from Trae Young. And I think when they look at the Pacers, they go, there are other ways to get it done. There's also ways to learn about my weekend. We'll do that in Things I Learned. And what is a recipe that Bo hasn't done yet for his three nights at Atlanta Motor Speedway, or I should say Echo Park?
Echo Park Speedway, baby. The Echo Chamber.
The Echo Chamber. We're going to find out about his menu decisions for him and Mikey and the crew. You have a whole crew hanging with you guys?
Yeah, we've got I think seven or eight guys come down total.
Mike Bell come, or he doesn't go to races anymore like that?
I think Mike will roll in there probably Sunday morning on two wheels in that Corvette and just chug a few beers, go to the stands.
All right, we'll see that too. It's coming up. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Bo. Hey, how is your Monday morning going? It was a warm, toasty weekend in the ATL where we didn't have the crazy downpours and whatnot going on. It was kind of a nice weekend at the pool and whatnot. So
it got warm, dude.
I know. I mean,
it was toasty.
I played some pickleball yesterday around 10 or 11 out in the sun, dude. It's took my dog for a walk, which I didn't realize. It was a longer jaunt than you know. Rocco's a rot. /lab type black dog, 90 degree heat. That was pretty stupid. My wife laid in to be pretty good. He was exhausted.
You got to be careful because their paws on the concrete and stuff.
I know there's somewhere out there at the Humane Society thinking they're going to take Rocco away from me. I like to get him exercise. Doggy doesn't get out enough, but it was hot for those walks. It was hot yesterday. Like, there's two kinds of people, those who just love the sweat, go outside. Realize I'm losing pounds every time I'm playing, running, doing anything in this heat, right?
Yeah.
Let me go eat more sandwich videos, do more sandwich videos because I'm sweating, right? And then there's like, I'm going to be in my AC and I'm going to like go to Maine in the summertime. This reverse commute thing, folks just want to go to the Northeast. So, but it's summertime in the ATL. There's nothing hotter. My daughter's headed to Tulane in the fall, not even the fall because she's dancing for the Tulane Shockwave. August in New Orleans is the most unique heat. It's beyond.
Yeah.
It's just beyond. I mean, let me tell you how unattractive. Now, I wasn't a great-looking fellow to begin with. I was like, I looked like John Belushi in Animal House. So I'd go to my fraternity, the Pike House, and you'd eat like red beans and rice with hot sauce and these heavy lunches, right? Macaroni and cheese. So picture that, yeah. Right? So you've been eating and you're hot and you're full. Now, my English class, it was at Gibson Hall, the absolute other side of campus. So here I am looking freshly, freshly put together freshman at Tulane, you know, just a maniac, right?
Yeah.
Went to a town with drinking ages 18, came from a conservative town in the Northeast, so they conservative, pretty low-key. Huh. And now you're in Louisiana where our first meeting with our counselor – from our freshman counselor is a case of Dixie beer. We'll meet you on the true story. Case of Dixie beer. You meet out on the lawn. The first Friday, I remember this because my roommate has been my best friend for 50 years. We're walking back to class and it's like, oh yeah, it's TGIF. They do this every Friday on the quad. TGIF 1984 at Tulane. The Neville brothers are playing on the lawn. They have a Miller Lite truck. And it's quarter beers on campus. No drinking age. Zero. It's 18 wow. years old. That just set the tone. I looked at my buddy, where in like Massachusetts, they might lock you up for 6 months with a friggin' ID. I mean, you're like, it's not, you don't mess around up there. Even the kids now will tell you, we get really scared in Boston with the fake IDs. Atlanta, there's like a couple of bars in Buckhead, like literally, you know, you can show them your Starbucks card. They'll let you in, right? They don't care. Different in the Northeast. We're walking back from class. We're going, dude, there's a band on campus. It's like, what's going on? It's the Neville brothers. This is crazy. It's quarter beers. I just hugged them, And I said, we've arrived. We're here. This is a beautiful thing. We go back to our room and we take out a beer funnel in our dorm. I don't know why we needed a pregame for a you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was just in our head.
Yeah.
The other thing is you could charge off a card called Bruff, this credit card from Tulane, but they sold beer on campus in the grocery store. So we're supposed to be getting, I need some bread, we have a toaster in the room, get some Campbell's soup and all that. But they also sold beer. So we would get no food and just get beer, and each person in the room of our roommates would get beer. But the parents never see the itemized version. So it just says $32 Bruff stuff, $21 Bruff stuff. Think about how wrong that is to the parents,
great.
Too. So that was what we were exposed to right out of the gate. Why am I mentioning all that? Why are we talking about Louisiana? Oh, the heat there in Louisiana and just different level and just a different mindset.
We opened the season one year with the Saints, and I remember we went down to Bourbon Street.
The smells?
I mean, Bourbon Street smells anyways, right? But it's okay in, you know, December. But September?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Like, it is. I mean, it just is. It's overwhelmingly bad.
Yeah. If you ever do, like, a run. We did this the other day. Great place to take a run or a walk. And I love running in New Orleans. You go down by the river and you run right straight down. But if you come back through Bourbon Street, it's at 8 or 9 a.m. where they haven't really fumigated it yet. I mean, you better be prepared because it's next level stuff. Anyway, what do we need to tell you about? Oh, here's what I want to ask you. You're going to be camping out at Echo Park.
Yep, Echo Speedway, Park Speedway.
For three consecutive nights. What are you doing all day once the show's over? What are you and Mike Johnson doing?
Okay.
And what does every meal look like? Are you just, you got a Weber grill there you're cooking every meal on?
Yeah, like, so normally our buddy Doug, and I've obviously met him through Mike, his wife will send him with two breakfast dishes, right? Mm-hmm. So if one for Friday morning.
Just heat them up.
And Saturday morning, yep. And,
ooh,
and
like that.
And she's pretty good cook.
Yeah.
From what I've had in the past when he's brought something. So we'll get down there Thursday. We'll start smoking something. That'll probably be like a late lunch because we'll have whatever breakfast thing she brought. That'll be like a late lunch. So you or early dinner. So you'll eat you're basically eating two large meals.
Uh-huh.
And then you bring snacks and you also have a liquid diet. I mean, I think there's a lot of calories in, you know, there's like 100 calories of beer.
So what's your beer of choice these days?
So obviously the Allen Lager from New Realm Brewing, which is the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. See?
Uh-huh. I love that.
Yeah, and it's like a light beer anyways, but I also will throw back anything. Miller.
Modelo. I'll throw Ultra.
So here's the deal. I have dinner beers, and then I have all-day drinking beers.
Oh, you're sophisticated. Okay.
I mean, that's when a Modelo will come into play.
Uh-huh.
But you're talking about Miller Lite, Coors Light, Mick Ultra.
It's not a good
Allen Lager.
It's not a good time to be in the craft beer business. You see how many of these places are closing?
Well, it's
over the years, the kids are back to just, you know, either kids aren't drinking as much or they're drinking the light stuff, right?
Well, it's oversaturation of the market.
Yeah. Everybody thought I could open a brewery.
Yeah.
Everybody in every town from Marietta to Woodstock to, you know, Athens, everybody's got their breweries. And it was okay for a little while. And now, wow.
Bottom
fell out of that business.
That's the thing. Companies like New Realm are killing it still.
If I was coming for one meal, what's going to be the best meal of the week?
That's probably the Friday night meal, because that's the one
you're going to be cooking all day?
Yep. That's the one we're going to cook
all
day.
And you're not just going to go pork butt or something. You're going to go more.
I don't think so. Last time, this is not your alley, but last time we smoked a thing of bologna.
Mm-hmm.
And you slice the bologna and you make these sandwiches.
Fried bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, you sear them a little
bit. That's a thing now.
So good.
That's a big thing in diners now and everything else. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
You're not
I'm not going out of my way for a fried bologna sandwich. Let's do things I learn. I'm going to start with Stephen A. Smith's daughter, who popped up on the set over the weekend. I was not even, he's so low-key about his personal life. That's one thing. But I was surprised. I learned that this woman has no fear, super engaging, on set with Stephen A. Listen to her come do her thing.
And they were talking a lot about this home court advantage, okay? Home court advantage is a real thing. Now, obviously, y'all are going to be like, oh, Samantha, like, duh. But no, for real, for real. I really think that is going to carry Oklahoma City to the championship, to the chip.
Why'd you say for real twice? Like, for real, for real. How come once isn't good enough?
Because it's like, for real, but not like, for real, for real. I just want to say, you guys, it's such a blessing to be here on this beautiful afternoon. I'm just really, really grateful to be here. Where were we this morning, Dad? Tell them.
We were at Fanatics Fest.
We were at Fanatics Fest. Yes, we were. And we had a great time, didn't we, Dad?
Yes, we did.
There was a man dressed up as my dad, and he had on like a bald cap, and his forehead started back here. Also, all the haters that were in the comments saying that I have my dad's forehead. Come here. That's crazy.
Dude, so funny. She did a great job. Did you see Fanatics Fest, by the way?
Yeah, the Tom Brady stuff was uncomfortable.
With him coming out as a... One of the criterias to win as an athlete or a fan, you have to compete in 10 different categories. Three-point shooting, throwing a football, all kinds of athletic, and coming out as a villain for WWE, right?
Yeah.
So is that what you're talking about?
He does this little ring entrance. The problem for me is I get all of it. It just looked so uncomfortable at Brady doing it. It was so unnatural. None of it. It just...
He tore up Eli Manning's jersey.
Yeah. I mean, I get...
He also, by the way, won. With all those athletes there, James Harden, everybody, he was the best athlete. You see it?
Best overall. I didn't see the whole contest.
He won best overall.
Good for him. Dude,
it's like Matt Ryan and Brady and guys. These quarterbacks in the NFL, their hand-eye... You've seen Ryan hit a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen Ryan shoot.
Yeah.
Brady's like him. Some of these other NFL quarterbacks, they have all the tools, the size, the athleticism. There's something about them, man, when they get on a golf course, when they get on a hoop court. So Brady won that as part of Fan Fest, which is like a massive deal. A couple of other quick things. Kevin Durant, we learned, has his new home. He goes to the Houston Rockets, who are the number 2 seed in the West. Jalen Green, great player. Dylan Brooks, the 10th pick in the 2025 draft. They get back and 5 second-round picks. That's what Phoenix gets. Jalen, Dylan, 10th pick in the draft, and a bunch of second-rounders. Kevin Durant averaged almost 27 a game. He is headed to Houston. Here he is saying, what did he say? He had a hand in where he wanted to go.
You know, when people can just hang your career in the balance like that and just choose what they want to do with your career is a nerve-wracking feeling, but being able to dictate what you want to do and then being with a team that values you, and I'm looking forward to it.
Kevin, people are going to hold on to that dictate what you want to do. Did you have a hand in this?
Most definitely.
How much?
I mean, they asked me where I wanted to go, some of my destinations I gave to them, and here we are.
Fred Van Fleet, Reed Shepard, high pick, Steven Adams. Jabari Smith, they got some players there. They're the number 2 seed, man. And Udoka, their coach, just got paid a ton of money, too. The Knicks wanted him. He said, they said, no, not happening.
Yeah, I remember when the Suns were a pretty good team when he went there, too, and that didn't really pan out.
Disaster. Bradley Beal, disaster. Durant, Devin Booker, no. Did not work out. All right, that's things I learned over the weekend. We learned the best meal for Bo is going to be Friday night, but I ain't going for baloney. We'll talk more about that. That's baloney. Play 3 strikes. Get you ready for a full week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak. And Bo, we haven't even talked NFL at all, and that's Bo. That's your sweet spot. If it's your show, I mean, you and Mike know more about the Falcons than any two people on the radio in Atlanta. Mikey lives and breathes it. I love when he's in his house watching film with all those TVs and everything. That's a good visual when he's sitting there on multiple screens.
My favorite thing during football season, Steak, is when we come in the mornings during football season. We'll both sit. We'll just go right into my office, and I turn the TV on, and I just hand Mike the remote. Like, let's go put on the film you want to watch and watch film with him. It's so much fun to just kind of, like, pick his brain and learn. Because, you know, I talk to Arch all the time and work with him, and Arch sees the game from a quarterback's point of view. And when I'm, like, watching it with Mike, I'm like, he'll start using these offensive line terms, and I'm like, hey, what's that? Hey, that's how you learn. That's how you learn stuff. I mean, he starts talking about
that's a good combination.
You know, duos and stuff. I'm like, well, what does that mean?
I'd love a defensive guy there, too, to talk about. Here's the coverage they're trying to disguise. here's how they look like. They're going to be sending him from the right side, but actually he's going to drop back. Check out how they're only rushing three here, but why they did it. See how they disguise these coverages and the problem that, you know, he's going to have with that. Michael Penix, seeing how well he reads stuff. You know, the end, Peyton talked about it. Brady talked about it. I think Matt Ryan. Their gift, because it is such a science, the notion of NFL defenses and disguising what you're going to run. And you hear those guys say there's no formation. There's no disguise. There's nothing that we haven't seen, like literally nothing, which is why Tom Brady became the greatest player of all time. A lot of times throwing 8 yard down, you know, throwing a James White, check down, check down,
yeah,
check down. Oh, now we're down the field to Gronk, right? With Peyton Manning. I'll take what's underneath. I'll take what's underneath. I'll hand off inside. I'll do this. Like, we can see everything there. And hearing really knowledgeable football people talk about the chess match of trying to – the coordinator a lot, but it's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Trying to make him not understand what we're running or disguise coverage or when you come with what, right?
That's what blew me away with what we did. If you want to talk football real quick?
Yeah.
What the Falcons did the first, I don't know, 10 games of the season with Jimmy Lake's defense. Why are you playing 9 yards off the ball on the DBs? Art sat there and said, he's like, you get guys like Patrick Mahomes, which go back and watch what Patrick Mahomes did against us, just dinked and dunked,
yeah, they don't
all
care.
The way. And then they would come up tight. But you those elite, and we'll be watching a game. I mean, we'll be doing a game, and used to be I could watch the whole field. Now I spot, so I'm a little bit more like I'm spotting for Wes. I'm doing a little bit more of just watching the ball and specific where it's at. But used to, I would sit there and watch the broad field, and a play would happen to my right side, and Arch would be like, he had Julio wide open down the left side. I'm like, how'd you see that? How do you see the – he sees the entire –
it happens so fast, too.
Yeah.
Have you always spotted for Wes, or was that a new thing?
New thing. Probably. I started around during COVID. Yeah, during COVID.
Is that to get less people up there?
Well, yeah, less people up there and stuff like that, but yeah.
Okay. Oh. I'd like you to go back to watching the whole field, and it's going to help you on the air with us, 6 to 9. But you got Mikey there.
Well, I listen to Arch, too, so.
Yeah.
He tells me. And you know what? If I don't see something, I go back and ask Arch, and then Mike and I'll come in here and watch the All 22. And then you can kind of, boom, you can kind of pick it up. So
when are you watching the All 22?
Before the all
Monday mornings?
Oh, no, the All 22 always comes out like about 24 hours after the game. So
you guys sit around here after the show?
We'll watch it. Well, it'll be Tuesday. It'll be Monday night, Tuesday morning. Okay. So sometimes I go in the treadmill late afternoon.
Are you going to invite Allie to watch All 22 with you?
Yeah. Yeah, she shows up.
She doesn't want to watch that. Come on.
What are you talking about? She wants to learn the game. Why wouldn't she? Then she can argue.
I don't want to watch All 22 with you. I don't want. I got other things to do. I'm too busy to sit around with you and Mike Johnson watching All 22.
I mean, well, you know what?
I got things I got to do.
I don't know if we're going to invite you.
Well, I mean, like.
You got to go, eat a cheeseburger?
Yeah, I mean, like, breakfast sandwich.
You can bring it
here.
Call
my kids, you know, go run a business or something. You guys sit in some dark room, All 22. That sounds like torture. I don't want to sit with you two.
Hey, here's
our three strikes questions. Give me a person that talks football you always listen to. A person talking football that you always listen to. The best thing you can do on your grill. The best thing you do on your grill. And are you okay trading Trae Young? Are you going to be okay trading Trae Young? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Give us full lines. Lately, it's been very active. A person that talks football that you always listen to. The best thing you can do on your grill. Are you okay trading Trae Young? I know you're not a big gambler. You're pretty conservative about that. Is that safe to
say?
I'm cheap. You're frugal. You're very frugal.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
What's the most frugal? I thought Andy Bunker was the most frugal guy here, but
he probably is.
Are you in his level? Give me an example of the level of frugality that you have.
I don't know. I do my own yard work because I don't want to spend money on it.
Yeah, that's admirable. Do you like coffee?
No.
Is the thought of spending $5.20 on a cup of coffee just crazy?
Yeah, I can't understand it. I can't fathom it. I
Do you coupon shop? Are you in the paper with coupons?
No, because I don't like the paper. Uh-huh. I don't like getting the paper. But I mean, dude, I go to Sam. I drive out of the way to go to Sam's and get gas.
Is your wife
to
ever
save money?
Do you ever? Does your wife ever get frustrated that you are tight about money?
She thinks it's dumb the things I'm willing to spend money on and things I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'll buy an iRacing track on because I want to try it out, but I'll go cheap on like food or whatever. Like I eat ham sandwiches every day for lunch. Mm. One piece of bread. Right, I throw it up. I mean,
so good we don't work together. Like you're telling me things right now. You said I'm gonna go bologna on my grill.
Yeah, it's really good.
Your idea of a fun Tuesday is to sit in a dark room with Mike Johnson and look at all 22, and that I think you just said you eat ham sandwiches every day.
I do, but you know why? Because I can spend that money on things like, you know, what, Wise Guys Pro Wash.
They're Atlanta's
number one rated pressure washing company. They did my house, dude. It was affordable.
Yeah.
I mean,
you look good.
Let me tell you something.
Well, they better be affordable for you or you wouldn't have hired them.
Exactly. And you know what happened? The neighbor across the street goes.
And then they hired him.
Neighbor across the street goes, hey, man, your house looks a lot whiter because we had a white house. I go, yeah.
Let's not bring race into it. I mean, nobody, like, we're... Well, no, I mean, you said your house looks a lot whiter, and I was just like, I mean, that's not either
well,
here nor there.
That's color.
Oh, okay. 404-726-0929.
It was already that way when I bought it, by the way.
Yeah, I got you. What's coming up this week? Do you plan, you guys are together the whole week, right?
Yeah, well, we got...
You taking any time this summer with Pork Chop?
No.
Yeah, you had some time off, right?
I mean...
Well, who needs time off when you're living your dream, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I get to spend time with her.
I know you do. You got a great shift for that, by the way.
Oh yeah,
and you have the greatest shift ever for
dude,
being around.
I hate that Amy has to get up with her on her own, but
middle of the night.
Well, not really. I mean, she sleeps through the night.
From what time to what time?
Okay, well, bedtime is we normally start bath time, so we give her a bath, we swaddle her, and we put the bottle in. So we start that around 8 o'clock every night. So she's asleep by 8:45.
And wakes up when?
I think this morning she woke up at 5:30.
All right. That's not
How's hard. That?
That's good, but I mean you've worked at that, okay? So let me remind you that the big game of the night is the Braves tonight. You got the pitching matchup for us. They're in New York, four games against the Mets, three against the Phillies.
Schwellenbach is on the mound against Paul Blackburn.
If I told you the over under is 3.5 wins for the next seven games. 3.5 wins.
Oh, that's
$100 bet. You going over or under?
The realist in me is going under, but the Homer Braves fan is going over.
It's $100. You're a cheap guy.
Then so. I'm going under.
Yes. All right, let's take some calls. Don't make Allie feel like she needs to be in that room with you. Remember when you're asking her this, she doesn't really want to be in there. She'll do it as a team player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I'm going to tell you something.
Sandra will explain this to you. She doesn't need to be looking at all 22. Nobody is turning to your show, so Allie breaks down the all 22. They want her to bust your chops, be fun, which is what she is, talk Braves, but please.
Well, I mean, I never force anybody else to watch it. It's just kind of a Mike and I thing. So if she wants to join it, she's welcome.
Right.
I want her to feel welcome.
I'm just trying to... I've been in these rooms before. Rodney in Stockbridge. Hey, Rodney, give me a person that talks football you always listen to.
That'll be John Madden, my friend.
Well, anybody right now that's been living for a while? The best thing you can do on your grill.
I won first prize this Saturday at the City of Marlboro Barbecue Competition, so it's got to be Reels, baby.
How long are they sitting for the marinade, everything else? Give us a quick 10 seconds on that.
No, you got to bring it in raw, no seasoning, and they give you 6 hours to do everything, marinate, grill, cook, and turn in.
Are you okay trading Trae Young?
I'm definitely okay. I think it's about time. We don't have no championships with him. It's time to make a decision to move on.
404-726-0929. Let's get a couple of calls. John and Cumming. A person talking football you always listen to.
I'm a John Fricke guy.
People love listening to John Fricke over the weekend and filling. The best thing you can do on your grill.
I'm half Cuban, so I do a pig and a caja china.
Oh, that's cool. You ever seen one of those? It's like a box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like box.
I have a buddy that always roasts a pig for big parties.
That's awesome.
And I love taking pictures of that head there with the apple in it or whatever. Are you okay trading Trey Young?
I've been okay with it for the past 4 years. Let's do something new.
Let's do something new. Got to get out of playing purgatory.
Our family started doing a whole hog roast for Thanksgiving that became a tradition for like 3 or 4 years. Incredible. It's a fun thing to do on a Thanksgiving day.
Who is the point person on that?
It would be my dad and my uncle.
Wow. I love and you got to baste it continually, right? To keep it moist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it spinning?
No, it would just
over
lay
a
on a
fire.
Grate, basically. Yeah, over coals. Yep.
Any more calls here, Cha-Cha? All right, who do we got? Who's in Atlanta? Hey, Jay. What's a person talking football that you always listen to?
Not just football, but I listen to talk about anything. Tony Dungy.
The best thing you can do on your grill.
The Big Green Egg, I'm going to go with the ribs, and then I got a six-burner Napoleon that I actually have rotisserie, so I do my own rotisserie chickens.
Nice.
Are you okay trading Trey Young?
Yep, for draft picks, and then, you know, at least we'll get some entertainment to see how bad the draft picks end up being.
Well, that's a real optimist there.
Thank you, buddy. Hey,
wow.
Good stuff. Was that fast for you? Was that the fastest 2 hours in radio?
That was super fast. And I enjoyed it. I appreciate you allowing me to join.
I always love having you or Mikey or anybody else. Just don't drag me into some dark room looking some silly film and I'll be fine. I love being with you. Thank you, Bo. Congratulations on Tigers. Go Tigers. Go Tigers. LSU wins it. Smoking Joe. Always a pleasure. Tomorrow, is it Abe Gordon tomorrow? Oy vey, what are we doing? We're going to have some fun. Bye.
Go Tigers!